Welcome back to that 590 show. The text line is available at 855-282-8255. The Bellman Automotive phone line at 855-282-8255. But it is occupado right now. We're talking to our good friend Clay Byersdorfer, writer for RedbirdDaily.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Ton of Clayton. He is the mayor of Chicago. Clay, how are you, sir?
Self-proclaimed mayor of Chicago, coming in hot. How are you, sir?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well. I saw it got a little cold in Chicago over the weekend, though.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I've been here a whole month, and I've had maybe one solid week of good weather every other day. It's cold and windy and rainy, and it's not been good weather thus far.
So let's talk about the trade that was made over the weekend by the St. Louis Cardinals. They finally moved Matt Adams, which I think was, for the lack of a better term, kind of like a mercy kill, because there really was no place for him on the roster. I know they tried to make him a left fielder, and that wasn't working out. John Mozeliak finally had to step in and tell Mike Matheny, you're not doing that anymore. And with Matt Carpenter kind of cemented in at first base, that's kind of the only real position he can play. Unless Carpenter gets hurt or you need a left-handed bat off the bench, there was no room for Matt Adams.
Yeah, you said it right. Matt Adams is a one-positional player. I really don't view a pinch hitter as a position. Certainly Matt Adams can do some things off the bench as a left-handed, pinch hitter. Matt Carpenter solidifying, the defense at first base. What's overlooked in this trade is, what Jed Jerko has done at the third base position and what he's brought offensively and defensively. It's allowed, the Cardinals to do some things that seemingly, at the beginning of the season they didn't think they could do, and that's why Matt Adams got a lot of playing time, even in the outfield and at other positions. So moving him to the Braves, obviously they get the young prospect in return. With Piscotty coming back off the DL, Matt Adams was destined to go somewhere else.
And, I feel good for Matt Adams, too. Like, I don't hate the guy. I thought that he just really didn't have a place. I mean, him in left field, to me, that was more, Mike Matheny's flub than it was his. You can't get mad at Matt Adams. I mean, if a coach tells you, can you play his position, odds are you're going to say, yeah, because you're a baseball player, and that's what you do. You play baseball. You don't care where it is. So I'm happy to see Matt Adams go to an organization where, with Freddie Freeman on the DL for 10 weeks, that maybe he can get some playing time.
No, absolutely. And I think Mike Matheny and Matt Adams probably sat down and talked about him and said, look, man, you're going to have to find another, skill set. Otherwise, your time here, might be cut short, and, you're just going to have to find another way to contribute to this ball club. Especially as, Jerko started to heat up and Carpenter really, dug in at first base. Matt Adams, probably saw within himself, like, look, I need to contribute to this ball club in other ways. I can't just be a left-handed guy off the bench. I need to get more ABs. Obviously, we saw the outfield thing did not work out whatsoever. They brought in, Willie McGee to try and help things out. That didn't work out either. Now he's in Atlanta Braves.
This morning, Cardinals general manager John Mozeliak was on The Morning After, and he mentioned that Luke Voit, a St. Louis native, has had an impressive first 6 weeks. His performance played a role in the Adams deal. Do you agree?
Yeah, it was a really interesting comment I saw, and I did a little piece on the Redbird Daily this morning about it, and I found it interesting that John Mozeliak was so candid about his performance and how that had an impact on the Adams trade. Seemingly to me, it seems like Luke Voit has a spot on the roster at some point for the Cardinals in the upcoming weeks or some point in the near future for them. He's had a very very good very very good spring for Memphis. And it seems like he might be willing to contribute. He also, was glowing about the play of Carson Kelly. So it really makes you, think about where Carson Kelly might be, here in the next couple weeks or maybe month or two. John Mozeliak was very candid about where some of the top prospects in the organization are and where they might fit in the big league future.
Clay Beiersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Ton of Clayton. And I'm reading your piece here that you have at RedbirdDaily.com, and you have a couple different trade scenarios. One of them is for the Cardinals to trade for Evan Longoria, which is something that the BFIP has kind of been clamoring for the past couple of years. It was either him or it was Troy Tulowitzki in Colorado. It was like it seemed like they were kind of fighting over those two. But you would love to see a package of Sandy Alcantara, Johnny Peralta, Colton Wong, and Harrison Bader for him. How realistic do you think that is?
Realistic is a word I'm hesitant to use. I'm a big Evan Longoria fan, obviously for a number of different reasons. I think he's a fantastic representative for any organization that he suits up for. What you're going to get from Evan Longoria is what he's put on the field. He's a guy that's going to probably sit around 275, 290, every single year. He's going to play Gold Glove caliber defense, at the third base position. He's an outstanding, character individual, someone that, can fit in the mold of, the Cardinal way, if you want to go about it that way. And someone that can really just be a cornerstone for your franchise. From a financial standpoint, he's got a very, very team-friendly contract. He signed a big extension, but it was a very team-friendly extension for the Tampa Bay Rays a couple years ago. And he's got a couple club options later down the line. If he doesn't end up working out, the Cardinals can, ditch him somewhere else or, cut the losses there. The Cardinals can put together a couple of prospects, lower, I won't say lower level, but Cardinal, prospects that they don't really feel that they need to have right now. As far as Alcantara, I think he's kind of slowed down a bit in terms of where he ranks within the organization. You don't have to get rid of the likes of, Jack Flaherty or Carson Kelly or, even a Luke Voit right now. So, if you mix guys like that, obviously Peralta right now, you don't know where he stands. Randall Grichuk, could be on the block as well. Colton Wong is Colton Wong. I think he's played pretty well to the point where he could be involved in a deal. So I think, if the Cardinals sweeten the pot enough and the Rays are, obviously not in contention, they may be willing to listen to a deal, and the Cardinals might be willing to offer one.
You brought up Randall Grichuk. Now, we saw Magnus Sierra for seven glorious games here on the major league level, and he was a lot of fun to watch play. Yeah, he never had a hit go further than what he get past first base, but once he was on first base, he was always a threat to get the third because of that great speed he has, and he was tremendous in the outfield as well. So do you think that made someone like Randall Grichuk, or maybe even I know that he signed a healthy sized contract a couple months ago, Steven Piscotty, you think either one of those two became a little more expendable?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think probably more so for Grichuk than Piscotty, just because Piscotty now has that deal locked in, and I think the Cardinals are a little more invested in him in terms of long-term future. A guy like Grichuk, he's been out for a couple of years, and the Cardinals are really just kind of waiting around for him to just prove it, to have that breakout year. And if a club, the Rays, wants to just get a kind of a tweener option to see if he can pan out or not, they might be willing to bite for that. But yeah, when Sierra came up and showed that, hey, he's clearly going to have a role for the Cardinals, whether it be next year or the following year, he came up and played very, very well, and he showcased things that the Cardinals have not seen for a while in terms of speed and athleticism, and something that, Randall Grichuk cannot provide. It makes him all that more expendable. So it'll be really, really interesting to see if Sierra continues to play well, if a guy like Harrison Bader continues to play well as far as outfield options go down in the minors. If those guys continue to push and Randall Grichuk continues to not, play incredibly well, not saying that he's played just awful, what the Cardinals do with him going down the line.
You mentioned that they may go after a starter, and some starters that you mentioned they may go after are Carlos Quintana, Zach Greinke.
Jose Quintana. It was a misprint on
misprint. Okay. Jose Quintana, Zach Greinke. I think you were drunk on that one. Chris Archer and Irvin Santana. And you mentioned that if they go after a starter like that, that means someone have to go to the bullpen. And you say, you know, maybe this is where Adam Wainwright goes. But the way Adam Wainwright has looked in his last two starts, I think he's had a little bit of an aha moment. I don't think he's going to go back to the Adam Wainwright that he was, you know, a few seasons ago. But I don't think he was going to be as putrid as he was at the beginning of the year. Do you still think they're going to make a run at a starting pitcher, though?
I don't necessarily think it. You know, it's more so just possible scenarios. Look, the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals are going to need, obviously, you know, I won't say a big line starter, but they're going to take a look at their starting pitching here in the next year or two. You know, obviously, whether that's, you know, organizationally within or they look to get outside help, they're going to have some money to flex here. So whether that be, you know, they make for a big trade within this season or they go after somebody in the off season. They're going to take a good hard look at that. Obviously, some of the names that I threw out there were just, you know, for me scouring, you know, the blogs and blogging the blogs today and, you know, what I took a look at as far as, you know, who's available and who could be available. But, guys like even Greinke are not completely out of the question, especially what the Cardinals are offering right now at the minor league system and who they could package up. It's not completely unfathomable, but to say that guy's completely off limits. So the Cardinals are going to look at it. I'm not saying they necessarily bite. I think starting pitching is probably at the very lower tier of all the possible trade scenarios that the Cardinals could be involved in. Obviously, the bullpen is probably issued, you know, in priority number one for them. They're going to want to obviously get some help for the bench too, because we're caring about 1,000 relievers for no plausible reason whatsoever. And they're going to want to get some bench help too. They're going to want to add a bat probably too, somebody with a little bit of power too, to help them out, drive some runs in. But starting pitching, you know, could be a point of emphasis to really get them over that hump. And I said it today in my article for the Redbird Daily. They have a good starting rotation right now. Guys like Mike Leake, Michael Wacha, and Michael, you know, Lance Lynn. Have done really well for them this year. But if you go out and you get a frontline starter and pair it with Carlos Martinez, now you have five guys that you can throw out there every single night and perform really well. You know, look out, buddy. The Cardinals are, you know, to be a force to be reckoned with on the mound.
Here's what I think the Cardinals need to do, because when I saw Matt Carpenter, you know, try to stretch that double to a triple late in the innings of a scoreless game with nobody out, I think this is what they need to do. Instead of that Cardinal Cowboy that you see on the sidelines, where he has that dumb white hat on and the Cardinal Cowboy jersey, and he wears those replica rings, the Cardinals need to get like a real cowboy and put him on the side, and like a rodeo cowboy. And then anytime a Cardinal's getting ready to make a dumb mistake like that, the rodeo cowboy is allowed to run out on the field with a lasso and lassos the base runner, and then drags him back to the previous base so they don't make a dumb mistake like that. That's what the Cardinals really need. They really need a rodeo cowboy.
I'm not sure what the market for that is in terms of trade value, but you know, maybe they do go out and make a maybe they trade their quality control coach, because that's really supposed to be his job.
Well, certainly Jonathan Broxton, who does nothing. We could trade Jonathan Broxton for a real life rodeo cowboy, can't we?
Yes. Just put a clown nose on him and maybe some burlap pants and see what Broxton can do out there. No, you're absolutely right. You know, the base running is still, you know, just a point of, I don't even know if you call it a point of emphasis anymore, but, you know, just a point of concern, really, and taking them out of some ball games. But
Carpenter, who you can't really complain about Carpenter. Like, he's great at the plate. He's an okay defender. He's not an awesome defender. He's just okay. But, man, his base running is way below average. He's not fast, but he thinks he's fast, and he tried to stretch out that double to a triple, and he's thrown out at third base when Carlos Martinez was dealing, you know, in a scoreless game late innings. That just drove me crazy.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating, too, because the Cardinals' offense should revolve around, you know, solid base running, too. When you have a team that doesn't necessarily have a power type of lineup, they're more of a gap-to-gap, you know, single, you know, steal, drive-them-in type of lineup. It's more of an advanced form of wide ball, not really, you know, bunt them over, you know, steal bases type of thing. But they're a single-double type of team to where, you know, they can get three, four hits in a row, you know, draw walks type of thing. but they're such, you know, rally killers. When you kill yourself on the base pass and you make those type of mental mistakes, that doesn't bode well for your offense. Obviously, you know, that's kind of obviously, you know, making, you know, just the obvious point. But when you have guys like that that try to do too much, that doesn't bode well for your offense. So if the Cardinals can make those adjustments and really just quit making the easy, you know, or really the easy mental mistakes, the offense can really, you know, go to the next level.
Clay Beiersdorfer, thank you so much for your insight, sir. Enjoy the rest of your week in Chicago. We look forward to having you on again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Clay. That is Clay Beiersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Ton of Clayton. But now it's time to head back to that 590 Show Sports Update desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
You know, Cardinals game tonight, they have a travel day today as they head out to L.A. for a three-game series against the Dodgers. Lance Lynn versus Clayton Kershaw in Game 1, followed by Michael Leake versus the lefty Rich Hill in Game 2, and then Michael Wacha taking on the righty Kenta Maeda in Game 3. That's your pitching matchups for the upcoming series. Tonight, it's the Warriors and the Spurs in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Warriors going for the sweep to send them to the NBA Finals for the third straight year. And the Predators and the Ducks will get underway here in just a couple of minutes from Nashville as the Predators try to close that series out in Game 6. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.